Hello, you are listening to CITR Docs Season 3, Keep It Local, a collection of audio documentaries that explore current affairs topics in Vancouver and the Lower Mainland. These documentaries were made by producers at CITR 101.9 FM, the University of British Columbia's campus and community radio station, located on unceded Coast Salish Musqueam territory. This series was made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada. To hear more CITR Docs from this season or previous seasons, look up CITR Docs on Stitcher or iTunes, or visit citr.ca/docs.
In a time and a place not far from our own, in an electoral campaign no one expected to remember, some founding myths about Canadian progressive politics are put to the test. This documentary by CITR producer Zoe Power follows the story of the candidate at the center of an unlikely scandal and raises some uncomfortable questions about the tenets of our secular democracy. Take a listen.
All right, dear listener, the story you're about to hear is about one of the sexiest topics in community radio, local politics. This is a story about an idealist who stands up to represent the party he believes in and winds up having to take a much bigger stand than he'd anticipated. It's a story that will bring the eyes of the world, for one brief moment, to the internal dealings of a local party executive running a hopeless campaign in a virtually unknown BC municipality. But for now, to set the stage. The year is 1994. Celine Dion and Bryan Adams top the charts. The first NAFTA agreement has just been signed into effect. Time magazine runs a cover story on the latest new technological innovation, the internet. The federal government is debating an addition to the Human Rights Act, which will include protections for sexual orientation for the first time. In a few short months, The Lion King will be released to critical acclaim and box office success. It is 13 years before the first iPhone. The place is Matsqui, a district municipality in the Lower Mainland that will, the following year, merge with its neighbour to create the new city of Abbotsford. And the candidate is Sam.
Oh, okay. My name is Sam Wagar. Well, I suppose my non-disclosure agreement is passed by now. Oh, it's just a joke.
Sam has recently moved out to Matsqui with his wife and their two kids, under five, and he's pretty engaged with local politics.
I was an active member of the New Democratic Party for a number of years. And they were going to have a by-election. So we got together at the NDP executive, and we said, we really should run a candidate. And I was the only one there who was under 60. And they said, well, you know, maybe I could do it. And so I was encouraged. I was nominated. I was the only person who was interested in being the sacrificial lamb.
Oh, yeah. And Sam doesn't think he has any chance of winning this election because, honestly, he doesn't. The NDP is a progressive party, for a start. And in his nomination, Sam is described as follows. He's a feminist, a Canadian nationalist, a left-wing social democrat, and a person with strong ethical and moral beliefs. His vision of the new Democratic Party is overwhelmingly as the party of compassion, whose policies are shaped by caring and concerns for the poor and for those who have been kept out of the political process. So that's Sam and his party. And as for the seat he's running in?
Abbotsford is said to be like the buckle of the Bible Belt, but I think really they're just very conservative. So they were never going to elect a new Democrat. So it was more just, you know, to show the flag, to encourage people, get my, maybe, if I was optimistic, 10% of the vote in the hand. And, you know, that was it. So I got nominated. I went through the process and was duly nominated. And I didn't talk about my religion because, well, it's irrelevant, right? I mean, so so what? I'm not running for moderator of the United Church of Canada. I'm running to, you know, be a member of the Legislative Assembly. I don't think anybody even knew what my religion was because we talked about things like, you know, supply management and agriculture. That's what we were concerned with. So I went off and started campaigning, you know, talking about, you know, how the farmers are being hurt by trade policies and stuff like that. Then an enterprising reporter from the province asked me if I was Wiccan. And I said, oh, yeah. Basically, yeah, that's my religion. But I'm much more concerned about how, you know, these trade policies are going to affect our family farms here in Matsqui. And it became like this huge public scandal that the NDP was running a witch as their candidate in this conservative, very Christian area.
All right. When you hear the word witch here, don't think 2018's hottest trend, tarot guides in indie bookstores, pentagram jewelry at H&M sort of thing. Think 1994. Not only was public discourse a little less embracing of difference, full stop, at this stage, we'd just been through what Sam refers to as the great baby torturing conspiracy, a rabbit hole that we won't go down in this particular audio doc, but there was a legitimate fear in popular culture about pagan magic and the occult.
I do remember that I got called up by some poor woman whose cat had gone missing around Halloween and asking if I was going to be torturing it to death. It's a black cat. I thought, you know, you're a poor woman. Most Wiccans like cats. You know, I'm okay with cats. I have a cat. I wanted to laugh at her, but you know, a poor woman. She's lost her cat. It was weird being a Wiccan priest, a perfectly reasonable human being, and having these strange allegations going around.
Sam was actually already pretty accustomed to dealing with public misconceptions about his religion. What he didn't expect, though, was for his own progressive, tolerant political party, the Party of Compassion, to turn their backs on him as well.
What happened, among other things, was that Premier Harcourt, who was the NDP premier at the time, openly and publicly said, I believe this guy may belong to a cult, and we're really quite concerned about him as a candidate. You know, he didn't say this like in the bathroom while taking a shower or to a close friends and confidants. He said it on camera. So there's not even a bit of doubt that these guys were concerned about my religious affiliation.
So, having joined the NDP because of their commitment to minority freedoms and concerns, Sam finds himself cast out of their good graces due to his own unorthodox religion. But by the time the Premier publicly disowns him and implies his religion is a cult, other members of the party have started to speak out against what they see as a betrayal of some pretty fundamental principles. Sam receives an open letter of support from Sven Robinson, who was, at that stage, the only openly gay MP in Canadian Parliament, and the Alberta branch of the party publicly backs him too. But back in Matsqui, this does not seem to be the prevailing sentiment.
There were people who felt that I was embarrassing the party. They wanted a nice, calm, respectable candidate who would go out there, knock on a few doors, lose gracefully, and this would have brought more press to worry about this little by-election than had probably ever been seen in Abbotsford before. So basically, the NDP brass decided to strip me of my candidacy, and there was a renomination meeting held.
To be clear, at this point, those who are opposing Sam's candidacy are not explicitly doing so on the grounds that he is Wiccan, but rather that he failed to disclose this to his constituents. For others, though, the idea that one should be required to disclose their religious leaning in advance of nomination for a secular election seems, in itself, highly problematic. Sven's letter, for example, reads, "Our party has called for respect for freedom of religion, yet the words and actions directed at you in these circumstances profoundly betray that commitment. If we are now to start grilling prospective candidates about irrelevant personal matters that may give rise to headlines in the tabloid press, what is next? Will there be scrutiny of one's personal relationships, or indeed one's sexual orientation, either of which could no doubt give rise to similar headlines, and either of which are equally irrelevant to one's ability to represent the new Democratic Party as a candidate. So the renomination meeting in this small Matsqui electorate has by now become a battleground for the core values of the NDP. And nobody's really sure in advance which way the vote's going to go.
It was really close. I knew that there was a solid faction in the party that felt that I'd been treated badly. So I thought, well, the party brass may not be happy with me, but at that meeting, the candidate of the party loyalist faction got 18 votes, and I got 16 votes or something like that, and so she ran in the election. And I went to the Human Rights Council.
The Human Rights Council had been established a few years earlier by the NDP themselves, in keeping with their public commitment to fight discrimination. Now, up until this point, Sam has been publicly defending the actions of his party. After all, he believes in them enough to represent them, and he still wants to believe that they'll do the right thing. So he doesn't go public immediately. He asks the party to issue an apology, and he says he will move forward with the complaint if they fail to do so.
Well, they didn't contact me to apologize. So I arranged with my lawyer to go and file the paperwork with the Human Rights Council. I wasn't particularly happy about it, but it seemed, you're stuck. This is what you got to do.
After a complaint is lodged, the Human Rights Council has a three-stage process. Sam's complaint moves quickly from the first stage, deciding if there is genuine cause for complaint, to the second, where the two parties try to negotiate an agreement.
Well, the NDP stalled, and then finally the Human Rights Council said, negotiate in good faith, get this happening, or we will start having public hearings. Now, the NDP was anticipating an election, and they did not want to have public hearings. So they negotiated an agreement and settled. And the provincial party that said, gee, it looks like somebody somewhere may have made some kind of mistake, and we're really sorry. The local party also issued a fairly milquetoast apology, which I don't think ever used the word apology. I'd have to dig it up and see. And my apology said, I accept the apology of the NDP, and I recognize that they will never religiously discriminate against members of my religion again. I was happy. I got what I wanted. I just wanted the apology, really. And even though it was very tough to go through, I have to say that I feel that I did a great service to the gods and to my community. Not intending to, but just because I was who I was. Because I'm boringly ordinary. Like, I'm an intelligent, well-educated, politically aware kind of guy. But I like to wear conservative clothing. I like to behave in a sort of everyday kind of way. I'm if this scandal had to happen to somebody, thank goodness it happened to me, because it's impossible for anybody to make me out to be a freak. And there are some people in our community who are rather more eccentric than I am. God has blessed them, but I'm not. It's impossible now to consider that a mainstream political party would religiously discriminate against a pagan.
Sam's completely right on this front. Not only did the NDP having to apologize set a fairly clear human rights precedent, but the public work of individual Wiccans like himself is also what's paved the way for a broader acceptance in our own time. The 1990s also saw a Vancouver police officer, for example, come out of the broom closet. And neither he nor Sam were ever caught torturing any black cats. But what amazes me about what Sam went through is that with all of the public hostility that came from his election run, he actually ended up doing it again. He later did run in a Matsqui election, and being a progressive candidate, he won the glorious total of a little under 200 votes. So one of the things I most wanted to ask when I got the chance to speak to him was, why? Why go through all of this once, let alone twice over?
You know, there are principles that are vitally important to me. So putting forward those politics, even if it takes a long time to shift society in the direction that I think it has to be shifted, it's really something I have to do.
Knowing, though, that Sam once identified his own principles with those of the NDP, and given his experience of having been let down by them, I wanted to know if there's something deeper than party affiliation that drives the direction in which he wants to create social change. In fact, although Sam's politics are secular, I wanted to ask him if they're linked in any way to his spiritual beliefs.
Oh, you know, that's a complicated one. There's an obvious strong link around some specific issues. We are explicitly feminist. Not all of us, and not as strongly as I would like sometimes, but there's no doubt that a religion that has strong female leadership has to be engaged around the issues of women's equality. We're a nature religion. We think that the divine is not separate from the world, but necessarily and completely involved in it. And so it would seem obvious that we would have to have a certain amount of environmental awareness and activism. And around sexual issues, I mean, we think sex is great. We're really pro-sex. So it seems that anything that involves discrimination against people with minority sexualities, we'd have to be active. I mean, those are our people, right? So, so these seemed like pretty obvious no-brainer things for me. And I've been active around these issues on and off for many years.
This is definitely an understatement. Sam has been consistently involved in pushing for change on these issues socially and politically since the early 80s, and actually continues to do so today through his work as the Wiccan chaplain and chair of the Interfaith Chaplains Association at the University of Alberta, where he's also completing his PhD. It's unquestionable that Sam's spiritual beliefs have helped to shape his priorities and outlook on the world throughout his life. But does this make them fair game for interrogation in the context of a political career? Are factors which influence your personal morality also facts which need to be disclosed? In 1994, the NDP argued that Sam misled voters by failing to publicly out himself as a witch, even though he explicitly stood on a platform of feminism, inclusion, compassion, and care. By taking his case to the Human Rights Council, Sam helped to create a precedent which helps to shield other folk with minority identities from the same kind of abuse today. So, does that mean he's done for now with fighting for those principles of equity which made him join the NDP in the first place?
Really, it's just my stage in life. Now I'm 61. I've moved into the position where I'm not supposed to be the energetic young leader anymore. I'm to mentor those energetic young leaders. I'm to provide them with what I have learned, resources, ideas, experiences, and encourage them to go off and change the world. Yeah, it gives me something to do in my retirement, eh?
If you can call that doctorate retirement, then yeah, sure.
well.
My thanks go naturally to Sam Wagar for agreeing to speak with me as part of this audio doc series. If you are interested in Wiccan theology or the history of progressive Wiccan organizing here in the Lower Mainland, do check him out online. He's something of an expert and has written a couple of books on these topics. My thanks go as well to Alex DeBoer for her excessive patience and mentorship throughout this project. This audio doc has featured the music of Visager, Chris Zabrowski, Celine Dion, and Princess Nokia playing you out right now. I've been Zoe Power. I hope you enjoyed this documentary and the rest of the series from CITR. North, East, West, South shit. Good witches I fuck with. Hot door for my broomstick. Witchcraft. Like magic is nothing. I'm reaching my altar. I'm reaching my altar. I'm reaching my altar. Got coins on the counter. I'm that black Rican bruja straight out from the Yoruba. And my people come from Africa, diaspora, Cuba.